Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Not everything about chocolate is sweet and delightful. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is December 4th, 2013. Thanks for joining us today, and we have got a world article that you can find on pages 12 and 13 in your Advanced magazine, and it covers a very important but seldom talked about topic, and we're talking about forced labor. And human trafficking, even as far as forcing young children to work for no wages and being punished. And strangely, it's in an agricultural field. Many of us may not even think about, we all think of chocolate being a sweet treat, but actually many of the cocoa beans that are harvested for chocolate are gathered in ways that we would probably not be real pleased to learn about. Especially, you know, so many people do enjoy chocolate. I do enjoy chocolate myself, but actually after reading about some of the conditions that the cocoa beans are harvested in, makes you think twice about all of this. So thanks for being here. Also, I want to thank my panelists for being here. First off, to my left, Josh Mooney. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Bill. Nice to be here.
Josh, were you aware of this situation?
You know, I had heard a little bit of it. I knew the cocoa bean is traded in the stock market and its futures, and I follow futures a little bit. And cocoa production is a huge industry. I mean, there is, you think about all the elements of the food chain, the food cycle that chocolate are into, whether it's breakfast foods or candy bars or your Starbucks. There's just coffee everywhere. And it's crazy that so much of the cocoa bean production is concentrated in one area.
Yes, it is, and most people may not realize that so much, as we'll find out in the article, over 70% of the cocoa bean production coming from West African, small West African nations.
Right. It's not like oranges, which are all over the globe, or coffee, which is in, you know, five or six different major nations. Cocoa seems to be just something that only grows in certain regions of the world, and it's difficult to harvest. Maybe it's a lot tougher of a crop to raise than things like coffee beans.
Yeah, and there are a number of reasons that are causing the problems that we're going to talk about in this article, and it's global, actually, and it's something that a lot of people may not realize, the companies that are involved in this and how many people it does affect, but it's a remarkable problem. Also, Catherine Huff is here. Catherine, I know you were intimately involved as far as editing through this article.
Yes, that's right. I picked out this story. I found it to be a very interesting topic. I'd heard about it before, but I never realized the extent of the problem until I started reading about this.
Yeah, you know, in the industrialized world, we have the luxury of having grocery stores, we've got Costco's, we've got pretty much everything within an arm's reach of us, and we've got all these great products, and they're all packaged nice and neatly, and there's commercials and advertisements that present the products in the most positive light. But many products have kind of an unsavory undercurrent and background to them, right?
Yeah, I think that that is completely true. And, you know, whenever you're doing your grocery shopping, I don't think you even think about where the product comes from. And so it's really easy to forget that sometimes there are people who put work into this, and it's all not always in the best of situations or the best of circumstances.
Yep. So if you like chocolate, which I think a lot of you do, you will be interested in this article, and it might be eye-opening, shedding some light on how that chocolate bar makes its way to the convenience store. You purchase it. It's really interesting to then trace this thing all the way back to its origins. So let's get into our reading. Our first reading will be that left column on page 12.
Children of cocoa farms. cocoa companies tried to improve conditions at West Africa's cocoa farms. Cargill Incorporated CEO Greg Page never used the words child labor in the 30-minute keynote address he delivered to the World Cocoa Foundation. Instead, he talked at length about sustainability. That term has become code for big cocoa players like Cargill that are trying to stop child labor abuses on cocoa farms while keeping production of a lucrative foodstuff viable. Government and media reports of kids forced to drop out of school, or worse, abducted and made to work without pay, have dogged the cocoa industry for more than a decade. Surveys have documented many corporate-backed attempts to alleviate child labor issues, but those efforts have fallen short of key goals. While hordes of children continue working on cocoa farms, some in unsafe conditions. Cargill says solutions to child labor abuses lie in making cocoa farming more productive and profitable, then working from the inside to convince farmers and governments that they would be better off educating children than exploiting them.
Children of cocoa farms. And what does our deck say, Catherine?
Well, it says cocoa companies try to improve conditions at West Africa's cocoa farms.
All right. So how do we start, Josh?
Well, we meet at the CEO of a company called Cargill Incorporated. And Cargill is an amazing company based in the Midwest in the United States that produces all sorts of products that are used to make other products.
Yeah, you know, Cargill is one of those kind of unknown companies for most consumers throughout the world. A lot of people don't realize the size of this company and the breadth of it.
Yes, the largest privately held company in America based on revenue.
Yeah, I was just reading also that if they were a public company, they would be number 9 on the Fortune 500 list. That's how big of a company they are, over 140,000 employees.
Wow.
Most people, if you ask most people here, even not just in Asia, in Africa about Cargill, they say they don't even know anything about it because it's kind of a private behind-the-scenes company. So, but they are a huge, huge company. CEO Greg Page. It's interesting. He did something here during a speech he gave.
Yes, he's delivering a keynote address, and that's a good phrase we've probably heard before in the advanced class. That means you are the featured speaker at a conference or an event, and it's usually, you know, a 30 or 60-minute speech that you give. In this case, it was delivered to the World Cocoa Foundation, and we talk about something that he didn't say that was interesting.
What did he not say?
Well, he never talked about child labor.
Okay. All right. He never talked about child labor. Why not?
I think it's a very sticky subject. It's something that happens, but maybe people don't want to talk about because it's something that's very hard to change, something that's definitely not good.
It's definitely happening, right? He can't hide. He can't say it doesn't happen. The chocolate we're eating is absolutely produced in the early stages by 11 and 12-year-old boys.
What do you think about this guy not saying the words child labor?
I think it's kind of chicken. I think it's cowardly. I mean, there's things that are being done that we're going to talk about, but if he's one of the major influencers in buying these beans from the cocoa farmers, I think he needs to at least mention it.
He sidestepped it. Yeah, I thought the same thing, too. I thought, this is, if anything, sometimes when people don't say something, it becomes even that more obvious than if the person had actually said something.
Right. He didn't need to deliver a whole speech about it.
Right.
But I agree. Just mention it briefly that we're trying to eradicate it, that we're making our best efforts. There's lots of PR kind of quips you can make that will sound like you're doing something even though you're not doing a whole lot.
Not speaking the words doesn't mean that the problem's not there. Instead, what did he talk about?
Well, it says that he talked about sustainability or making things last longer.
Okay. Now, why would he have used that term?
Well, this is a word that a lot of cocoa companies are starting to use because they're trying to stop child labor on farms, but they want to keep the production of cocoa going.
Okay. The term has become code for big cocoa players.
Yes. So they don't say child labor, but they insert the word sustainability there. And I guess the players in this group, which include Archer Daniels Midland and Nestle and Hershey's, they would know what Mr. Page is talking about.
All right. Now, I'm thinking they don't want to say as far as child labor because they're trying to protect the image of their industry.
Right. That would certainly bring out the human rights groups, and people would start talking about boycotting chocolate bars and protesting against certain companies. But I don't think really any of that is happening currently.
Yeah. All right. And one of the things they are interested in is keeping production of the lucrative foodstuff viable.
Yeah. Foodstuff is an interesting term there, talking about what elements of processed foods are used to create the foods we love.
Okay.
Viable, of course, just means keep it going, keep it able to exist.
All right. And there is a big demand on cocoa beans. Huge demand. The demand has skyrocketed. But from what I understand, and we've even done some articles about this, it might be peaking. And in the future, there might be a possible drop in cocoa, right?
Yeah. I think I read a few months ago that there was a predicted shortage of cocoa beans. So there may be less coffee, less chocolate being able to be produced in the future.
Yeah, we had mm-hmm. talked about that in one of our newsworthy clips a couple of months ago as far as a looming crisis in mm-hmm. cocoa and also in sugar because the demand has gone up mm-hmm. so much. And so prices will be going up. Now, government and media reports of kids forced to drop out of school. Or worse,
they get abducted, which means taken away by force without their choice, and they're made to work without pay.
Okay.
It says these have dogged the cocoa industry. So these stories have been spread around the internet and picked up by news media outlets, and the cocoa industry has suffered or caused difficulty due to these reports.
Mm-hmm. All right, and this is actually happening. A lot of the countries in Africa are war-torn, and many of the people live in poverty, and many of the children are just essentially homeless, or they come from their families or roaming around. A lot of these people, their lifestyle is very unstable, so they're quite vulnerable. It's a very different situation than what we might experience in industrialized nations where there is order. You know, we have schools. And parents go to work, and the kids go to schools, and there are neighborhoods, and there is stability. In this part of West Africa, Central Africa, it is chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are extremely vulnerable. And often the kids will disappear. People don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if the kids do disappear, finding them is not even a priority. They're just gone. So and so this is happening quite a bit, and this stuff has dogged the cocoa industry for more than a decade. Surveys also have documented what?
Well, that corporate-backed attempts to alleviate child labor issues. So these are corporate-backed, meaning that the companies themselves involved in cocoa, or actually chocolate production, have attempted to alleviate these issues. And alleviate something means to reduce or eradicate.
Okay. But?
But the efforts have fallen short of key goals, which means that nothing has happened, while hordes of children have continued working on cocoa farms. And hordes here just means like a large, really large group of people.
All right. Well, these two sentences are actually heading in different directions. The first one says these large corporations are supposedly trying to do something.
Right.
But it's not really completely working in that next sentence. And normally because the large corporations are dealing with smaller local companies, farmers.
Yes. Very small farmers. I think that's the big issue here is they can't just talk to, you know, some land baron in Burkina Faso and you know, handle half the issue. It's literally thousands of very small farmers doing backbreaking labor and using children to help with it, and sometimes their own children. I found some articles online that talked about some very happily employed children. So it's not everyone, but it does sound like it's a large number of young people who are working in unsafe conditions.
Yeah, I think it's like almost in any business around the world, any community, you will have respectable business people, but then you will have other people who are going to cut corners, cheat, do whatever they can, right?
Well, we've also had an issue in America the last few years about whether children should work at all in farming. And there's been family farms in the United States that have been taken to court because their children have been working on the farm and driving tractors and doing things that people who aren't related to that family feel are unsafe or unfit for those kids. And families have had to fight in court to say, no, this is how we live. Our 13-year-olds drive our tractors. Our 16-year-olds, you know, work here all summer long in very difficult conditions. And do parents have the right to employ their children in labor, or can government step in on behalf of those kids?
Mm-hmm. Very interesting situation that you described, Josh. I think a little bit different than West Africa.
Sure.
Most of those kids in America aren't being abducted, and they're usually working on family farms, so they will inherit the land.
But I did find some West African kids who are working for their parents.
Now, that is something that we don't hear about that often, that, okay, some of them are family members and they're okay working them. Probably a small minority, though, of the overall when we're talking about the hundreds of thousands of kids that are involved. Now, next paragraph, Cargill says solutions.
Solutions to the child labor abuses lie in making the cocoa farming more productive and profitable, and then working from the inside to convince farmers and governments that they'd be better off educating children than exploiting them.
Okay, that's an especial advanced one-sentence paragraph.
Yes.
Like we always like to do. So.
I know.
Yeah, what's it say? It sounds like a lot of corporate gobbledygook to me.
Well, I think what they're wanting to do is to make this industry more profitable, and then the big thing is to convince these farmers that their kids need to go to school so that they can get an education and learn more. And that's really the root of pulling people out of poverty, I believe.
Hmm. I think that's the key, to improve the economic conditions of these farmers, and that will then raise the standard of living for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm. All right. Question, Josh. Isn't there enough profit already in this? Isn't there enough revenue? What's the problem?
It sounds like it's just that right now there's just they can only harvest so many beans, that these are small mom-and-pop farmers that aren't able to get the volume necessary to really make enough money.
Are the big companies not paying the local farmers enough money, though?
I think that's definitely an issue.
Yeah. So I think what's happening here is Cargill is speaking in grand terms. However, when it gets down to it, I don't know if enough of the revenue and profits is being passed on all the way down to the bottom level.
So it's a chain of exploitation where Cargill is exploiting the farmers who are then exploiting the children.
What's that mean, exploiting?
Taking advantage of someone. I mean, that's simply what it is.
Yeah. Okay. Let's have our second reading. It'll be that right column on page 12.
Just getting started. Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa believes Cargill and its big cocoa compatriots are only partway there. Harkin was behind a 2001 congressional action, the Harkin-Engel Protocol, that has put heat on the cocoa and chocolate companies. While progress has been made in combating child labor in the cocoa sector, it has not come quickly enough, Harkin wrote to the Star Tribune. Making progress. On the plus side, the cocoa industry committed $10 million for remediation efforts as part of a 2010 agreement among the cocoa industry, the U.S. Department of Labor, and governments of the world's two largest cocoa producers, Ivory Coast and Ghana. But more investments are needed, Harkin added. And while companies associated with major chocolate brands have been at the forefront of the industry's efforts, the companies that process cocoa, such as Cargill and ADM, have been less engaged.
Okay, well, we were talking about Cargill, the large agricultural company, and some of their thoughts and ideas on the situation regarding child labor and cocoa farms. Now we're going to hear from a politician, Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa. And what does he think?
Well, he says that he believes Cargill and its big cocoa compatriots, or people that you work with, so these might be other companies, are only partway there.
Okay, so only partway there towards this thing as far as making it more profitable for farmers and also helping farmers and governments work harder at educating children instead of exploiting them. Senator Harkin thinks, well, they made a little bit of progress, but not much.
No, and he was part of a major initiative, a congressional action, we call it there, in line 4 and 5. And this was, you know, 12 years ago they tried to battle this problem from a legislative standpoint, enacting the Harkin-Engel Protocol, which is important to point out is not a law. This was strictly voluntary, trying to encourage, without any sanctions or any punishments, the chocolate industry to combat child labor.
Okay, so the Harkin-Engel Protocol, a lot of times where they will have certain pieces of not necessarily legislation, but these like almost like recommendations,
yeah,
we would call it.
Proclamations.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, very little force behind these.
Right. That's two people there, Senator Harkin and another Senator Engel. And it supposedly put the heat on cocoa and chocolate companies, put the heat on.
Well, I think that that simply means that they put pressure on. They probably brought to light a lot of these issues, you know, to the public and to the companies, and that maybe made the companies realize they needed to do something and put pressure on them.
Oh, I thought we were talking about hot cocoa.
Yeah. Maybe that's part of what they're talking about.
They served hot cocoa and then sat down with them.
Yeah, right.
Your boss might put the heat on you in at the workplace by saying, hey, you need to get this done by tonight or else you're fired. That's putting the heat on you. So what does Harkin say here in the next paragraph?
Well, he says that progress has been made in combating child labor, but it hasn't come quickly enough. And he's saying this recently. So this is 12 years, like I said, after his protocol was enacted, mm-hmm, that there just hasn't been enough progress made.
Okay. That's what Senator Harkin said recently. Now, our next section says making progress.
That's right. And it says on the plus side, the cocoa industry committed $10 million for remediation efforts. And remediation is just trying to solve problems within a company or within an organization.
Okay. All right. So the industry has tried some as far as they're putting forth a little bit of effort.
Yes, $10 million, that's nothing to sneeze at. That's certainly something substantial. But remember, this is a multi-billion dollar industry. So these companies, I'm sure, make $10 million in profit in, you know, minutes in this in the chocolate business. So they put some forward to put some pressure on and help some of the largest cocoa producers battle these efforts. And now we meet a few other countries here that are creating the chocolate in or the cocoa in West Africa. First is Ivory Coast, and the second is Ghana.
Okay, now first off, yeah, I thought the same thing, Josh, about the $10 million. I was like, ho-hum. And because, for instance, Cargill, their revenue, I believe, in 2012, their total company revenue was $137 billion.
Whoa.
Dollars. That is their company revenue, $137 billion. That's bigger than most tech companies that you were all familiar with. So that's why I was like, they're making a lot of money. This is like a drop in the bucket.
And the whole industry put in that money.
And that was – and we're talking $10 million. It's the whole industry. Cargill, $137 billion. Archer Daniels Midland, not far behind them. Nestle,
Hershey's,
probably as big.
Kraft.
So we're talking – we're talking a trillion-dollar industry, okay? And this is something they're putting $10 million in. So to me, it's kind of a drop in the bucket. And it's kind of like, it's almost to me going through the motions like saying, look, we're doing something, but are you really serious about solving this problem? I don't know. And these two countries, Ivory Coast and Ghana, they're on the west coast of Africa.
Big soccer nations, Bill. Yeah. That's all I know.
Yeah, if you do watch the World Cup, you're familiar with these two countries.
Ghana has defeated the United States twice in World Cup action.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they have had success on the football pitch, but they have not successfully distributed their revenue or income to their citizens. Like most African countries, most of the people there are extremely poor. Now, we move into the next paragraph, and what else does Tom Harkin say?
Well, he says that obviously more investments are needed, so these companies need to invest more money into the smaller farms to make everything more profitable.
All right. And while companies associated with major chocolate brands, you had mentioned a few of them.
Hershey's, Kraft, Nestle. Yep.
Right. Mars also. They have been at the forefront of the industry efforts. What's that mean, forefront?
Well, they're the ones getting the public recognition for battling this crisis. And I think it's because they're the most publicly known companies in chocolate. You don't think of Cargill when you think of chocolate.
That's right. We might think of Hershey's Kisses, and that's when we think of chocolate, or we think of Mars, M&Ms, things like that. But people aren't thinking of Cargill or Archer Daniels Midland.
Nope.
So the companies that process cocoa.
Right. It says that such as Cargill and ADM have become less engaged. So they've just – there's at the very top of everything, they've become very removed from the process of this.
Why do you think the ones at the ones – the major chocolate brands have been more involved, but the ones that process it have not been?
Well, I think it's just about who's going to get the most heat from public outcry. Who's going to have their websites petitioned? Who's going to have their candy bars potentially boycotted? It's not going to be the cocoa producers.
That's right. People, if they're upset about child labor in cocoa production, consumers will say, we're not going to buy this product from this company. But most consumers aren't going to say, we're not going to buy Cargill stuff because they don't even know what Cargill stuff is. Cargill stuff is everywhere. It's in stuff they don't even know about, or Archer Daniels Midland stuff. These are commodities that they are dealing with, whether it's cocoa beans or soybeans or grain. And there really is no way to boycott their stuff because it's everywhere.
That's right.
Listeners, thanks for being here for our first day of Children of Cocoa Farms. Very interesting and relevant topic for all of us. Come on back tomorrow for day two.